Now, the eagle-eyed amongst you might have noticed that we didn't say the whole of Psalm 139 in the film. So firstly, I just want to explain and put that in context. So the group initially chosen to take part in the film were from Lantern. And we felt to include the few verses that we chose to leave out would be very challenging and would have been quite difficult to understand. But today is the right time to put those verses back in the context in which they were written. And that's more to follow. So what is this psalm all about? It's sometimes described as the ultimate feel-good psalm. Loads of chocolate, stacks of self-help groups and magazines in a very hot bubble bath with whatever else rocks your boat through tough times. Well, it is partly about providing us with a feeling of comfort. It can soothe you, ground you, calm you, and inspire you, if you allow it to. Its boundless display of excitement demonstrates how God loves us always and will never leave us, which is all very good. But I wonder how many other people sometimes feel like I have, that we are such a tiny speck in this great universe. How can we possibly be of any value? And circumstances themselves may leave you feeling very far from God. It's a real and common feeling. If that is how you feel, I urge you to read and reread this psalm. Maybe imagine that you've written it and hear the passion as you read. We don't know for sure who wrote it, but we know he was a man of great intelligence and clearly was very familiar with dark gloom also. He may have been King David, it's very likely. Perhaps the night before a battle that he was about to be involved with, composing his thoughts. Or it could have been just a common man, falsely imprisoned and beleaguered with his emotions. Well, whoever he was, he describes eloquently the reasons to never feel too small, nor too insignificant. Let those words sink into your soul, because you matter to God. He made every part of you. You were conceived in his mind at the very beginning of time. He thought lovingly of you and wanted you to be a significant part of his creation. You've been given unique gifts and talents, and he made you for a reason. He has a purpose and a plan specifically for each one of us, where no one is more valuable than anyone else. Your life is not an accident, nor is it a mistake. Some might think their life is a cruel joke, down to their personal experiences. It may be your parents may not have planned you, but God did. So please take hold of that truth and own it. Let it comfort you. In our readings today, we heard from Ephesians 1. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. And in James 1, it says that God decided to give us life through the word of truth so that we might be the most important of all the things he made. This is how much he loves us and values us as individuals. He is the ultimate father who gazes on us as his beautiful creation, who smiles with love when he thinks of each one of us. Now I'd like to ask you a rhetorical question. What do you think about yourself as a person? Do you like yourself? Do you have things about you that you think are particularly strong or good? chances are that you've not looked at yourself in this way. Much more likely, you're probably thinking, oh, I'm just too fat, thin, I'm not pretty, I'm pretty ugly, I'm not very clever, actually I'm a bit stupid. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Social media is contributing to making the younger generations hideously lacking in self-confidence, more so than ever before, with expectations being generally unattainable. For example, to have the perfect body care of Instagram. But if we believe in the truth of God, then we have no business in holding those views. The psalmist knows he is fearfully and wonderfully made, and he prays God for this truth. He acknowledges his making is wonderful, and he thanks God for it. Remember, God knew our name before we even breathed for the first time. Your name is written on his heart. Each of us precious in his sight as we are continually woven together and formed into this masterpiece, his tapestry of perfection. He says that God is always with us and will never leave us. I ask you, even in your darkest times, to hang on to these words. Let them affect you. Let them teach you a sense of self-worth. But this psalm is not just about giving us comfort. It is much, much more. It can really challenge us too. An all-seeing, all-knowing God has the potential to make us anxious or afraid. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. He knows our fears, our weaknesses, as well as all the good stuff. Well, we can run, but we certainly can't hide. We all have thoughts of which we are rightly ashamed. And there will be times when you don't want your closest relative or a closest friend to have a clue what's just run through your head. We all have thoughts that race unbidden through our minds, which instantly bring us shame. How would you feel if you thought that everything you thought was instantly visible for everyone else to see? How appalling a concept. But the truth is, we can't hide those thoughts from God. But do not be afraid. God is not the big brother from the novel 1984. We all wear different masks throughout our lives. Mother, father, student, employee or manager. And there we find a very happy use for the neutral mask, which enables us to glide through situations where to show how we really feel would be totally inappropriate. Sometimes it's nice to be someone else for a short while. But we can't hide from God. In the days of the Bible thumping, hellfire and damnation preaching, this would have been used to bring terror and subjugation to the congregation. It was well meant at the time, but unreasonable, as God does not desire us to be afraid. He is not trying to catch us out, but is indeed watching us with love and compassion, forgiving our foolish ways, as the old hymn goes. Those amongst us who have been parents know so well watching your toddler completely wreck him a joint, behaving really badly. But we know, despite feeling frustrated and possibly embarrassed at the time, how much we love that child and know that he will not always behave in that way. How profoundly beautiful it is to know that our Father is devoted to us in the same way, but exponentially so, beyond human understanding. I mentioned earlier that we missed out some verses from this psalm when we made the film, so I'm going to read those to you now, and then we'll talk about them. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. They seem such a shocking explosion of hatred. Some say actually it spoils what could be a really good love song. And I do see that. I can understand that. But we need to look at it in another way. How humid it is to switch our emotions on a sixpence. Anger and laughter are actually never really far apart. And the psalmist is actually saying how every slur that the enemy makes against God is like it was against himself. That the human amazing creation he sings about so eloquently is being tortured and destroyed by his enemy. And as such, he is rightfully angry, not hate-filled, but convinced of God's need to destroy all that is evil. I think it's similar to our Christian conviction on human rights and justice. If we believe in these, then we have to accept a certain responsibility. The responsibility to see ourselves as he sees us, loved beyond measure and valued higher than gold. The responsibility to care for, respect, and uphold all others made in his image. We must even then share his love while standing up to the values of the gospel, even if it means showing anger as we seek justice and peace. As I bring this talk to a close, may I ask you to remember two things. It doesn't matter how weak our grip of God's love is, because his is infinitely stronger and won't ever let us go. Secondly, rather than thinking that you must make an effort to be in the presence of God, you need to know you are always in his presence. May that thought bless you today. And I'm going to finish in prayer. Creator God, we pray that we may feel secure in the knowledge of who we are, not trying to be like someone else, but being the person you want us to be. Show us our purpose in life. Keep searching us, Father. Know our anxieties and confusions. Steady our hearts and our minds. And refine us into your perfect treasure. Lead us, Father, your way.